This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The song we just sang say he's a God of miracles. And like we said in the first service, my brother is in the hospital, and like the doctors say, he has a brain bleed, a tumor on the brain, had two seizures yesterday. And I'm not going to ask Pastor Josh to pray for him again, because we prayed in the first service, and I believe God has already done the job. Amen? But because we believe that he's a God of miracles, and you might not have been here in the first service, we want to be able to pray over you if you are sitting in this service and you are experiencing any form of pain or a family member is going through something. I want you to know that the God of miracles is in the house today and he's here to touch you. So if you're sitting here today or you have a family member home who is sick and you want to stand in proxy for them today, I'm encouraging you to come right now before we even begin to speak, because he's a God of miracles, and to say he'll do the same for you. Like the songwriter say, he will do it again. He will do it again. So if you're here today and you're sick, or you're going through whatever experience you are going through, and you need a miracle from God, before we even speak the word, God is here, and he's here to set you free, because he's a God of miracles. Amen? Praise God. Would you stand with me as we believe God? We're giving thanks for my brother because the prayer already went up. So we are thanking God that he's been healed as we speak, and as you come for your deliverance right now. I want you to know that the God of miracles, the God who died on the cross, and when he died, he says, it is finished. Man's redemption is complete. The God that says, by his stripes, we are healed. He's in the house today. Can you sense his spirit? And he's here to set you free. I don't want you to look at Pastor Josh or Pastor Pete. I want you to believe God. Believe God. And your faith will make you whole, even as we pray in Jesus' name. Pastor Josh, go ahead and pray. Hallelujah.
God, I just thank you, Lord, that you touch each and every person here. God, that has a need. Lord, we thank you. Your word says, where two or more are gathered, there you are in the midst of us. Thank you, God, that your presence is right here, right now. It's not distant. It's not somewhere way out in the universe. God, you're right here. You are a God that desires and abides in the praises of your people. God, we've praised you. We've lifted you up, God, and we're praying right now, God, and you're in the midst of our prayers. And I thank you, God, that you touch each and every person, God, according to your word, God. I thank you, Lord. Your word says, by your stripes, we are healed. By your stripes, we are healed. Right now, God, we thank you, God, for that promise, God. We apply that promise to our lives, God. We apply the word of God to our lives, God. I thank you, Father, that you sent your word and healed every disease. God, I thank you, Lord, that you just send your healing right now. God, just let your healing wind blow through this place, God. I thank you, God, Lord, that your word and your name is bigger and greater than every sickness, every infirmity. And I say right now, infirmity, go in the name of Jesus. Sickness, go in the name of Jesus. Complications, go in the name of Jesus. I thank you for healing, God, even down to the bone and the marrow and the blood. God, I thank you. Everything be made right in the name of Jesus. The man said to Jesus, I know you can heal me if you want to. And Jesus said, I want to. And today Jesus says, I want to. I want to heal you. And God, I thank you. I speak your healing. We rebuke every infirmity and disease in the name of Jesus. And we speak your healing over these precious sons and daughters in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe in miracles. If you believe this morning, you are made whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, we give God thanks for yet another Sunday as we come to the end of the series, The Wise Men. The journey of the wise men. And it was taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But today I'll read verse 12, and then we do a brief recap, Pastor Josh and myself. And being warned of God in the dream, that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Praise God. We went on a journey in the month of December, the journey of the wise men. And today I will focus on verse 12. But before I do, I encourage you to listen back to the podcast because it will be a blessing to you as it is to me. So part one of the series, and Pastor Josh, would you come with me for a brief moment? My wife told me that I took a little too long in the first part, in the first service. So I'm going to attempt to do it a little faster this time so that we can be out of here on time. So in part one, we looked at what the Lord laid on my heart, and I took each of these sections personally. So excuse me for being a little personal, but you can apply it as the Holy Spirit would apply to your life. So in part one, what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart is, Pastor Pete, are you looking for the King? Pastor Pete, are you looking for the King? Hope, are you looking for the King? The Bible declares, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. We as a church, sometimes we tend to be seeking the wrong things. We seem to put our priorities on the wrong thing. But I'm here to encourage you, as the Holy Spirit encouraged me on the journey of the wise men. I must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I guarantee you, based on the word of God, which can never lie, is the fact that all other things will be added. Pastor Josh.
Yeah, the wise men were looking for Jesus, and I think we have to look for Jesus in every circumstance, in every part of our lives. And if we're looking for Jesus, guess what? We'll find him. And that's the beautiful thing, that Amen. God wants to be involved in every area, the small things and the large things.
Amen. And just to add another scripture to that, the Bible declares, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So whatever, whether it's business, whether it's a marriage, whether it's choosing a school, seek the guidance of God first. Secondly, you must be committed to the King. You must be committed to the King. It's easy to say, I'm seeking for the King. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you're not committed. There must be a commitment to do whatever God says to you to do. Amen? There must be a commitment. You know, Pastor Josh, if I'm not committed to my family, then guess what? I don't pay attention to it. But when you're committed to something, you're going to give your all to it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So running on real quickly, as I promised her, I'll be a lot quicker this time. Okay, the next thing is, do I know when to move or not? As the children of God, God gives us directive. And when he speaks to us, we have to be sensitive to what God is saying and move in that moment. You know, the thing that God laid on my heart between the two services is that he's a now God. And sometimes God gives us a directive and we want to put it off and move in our time. But we must be sensitive to move when God says to move.
Amen. You know, there's times when God says something and we know God said something to us, but then for whatever reason, we delay. Or there's stuff that comes up and we get preoccupied with things and we miss the window of opportunity. Amen. When God told my father to move down here to South Florida to start the church, God gave us the word and we were praying on it. We were believing it. We were, you know, excited about it, but we didn't move. And then God came with a second word. He said, if you don't move in the next 3 weeks, then just don't move at all. Because there's a lot of words that God gives you that if you don't move, you can miss the whole window.
Amen. And sometimes being disobedient to what God is saying will cost you something. Being disobedient to the word God has given you will cost you something. And you'll say, Pastor Pete, what are you talking about? Well, let me use my own experience. God gave me a directive as to do with the church in Jamaica. I was being nice, you know, not wanting to remove. And I had a pastor pastoring and not wanting to remove the pastor. And by being disobedient to the voice of God and waiting, even my sister saying, bro, that, by the way, thank God to have my sister and my nephew here with me today. Welcome, Sharon and Ryan. You know, even she was praying and she said, Pete, God is saying it's time. And I'm sometimes, like my nephew tells me, because he's in business with me, he tells me, Uncle, you're too nice. And I'm here trying to say, okay, I'm trying to fix this. But when God says to move, you better move. Amen? Because there is a consequence for sin. There's a consequence for not listening to the voice of God. As a matter of fact, the thing I shared earlier, Linda Ravenhill says, opportunities of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime. Time of the opportunity. Opportunities of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. So when God says to move, in Jesus' name, let us move. Next thing is, do I make a difference or am I being just a part of the crowd? It's okay to come to church on a Sunday and say, oh, I'm saved. It's okay when you're around your family to say, I'm saved, I'm saved. But am I making a difference when nobody else is seeing me? That's when it matters. That's when the Bible says, come out from amongst them and be ye separate. That's when our light must shine. That's when the world must see Jesus in us.
When the wise men were in Jerusalem, they looked different. Actually, their calling separated them because they were the ones in Jerusalem that were going around asking, do you know where the newborn king is going to be born? And so if you're following God, your calling will actually make you look different than everybody around you.
Amen.
So if you don't look different, refer back to the calling that God gave you.
Amen. Amen. And the series that that God gave you about
contrast.
That was so powerful, especially the example that was used, because there was everybody going in one direction, but in the photograph you could see the man of God going a different direction. The world must see us as the light of the world. We must be the salt of the earth. If we're not being the salt of the earth, church, something is wrong. We must be different. The Bible said we are a peculiar people, royal priesthood. People must recognize us as being royal, as being priestly, as being a family, part of the family of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Next, we must be willing to follow the signs. When God gives us a sign, when God speaks to us, then I'll deal a little bit more with that, because the thing is, Pastor Josh, you can't follow the sign if there's no relationship with God. You want to comment on that real quickly for me?
Amen. Well, the first mark of Christian maturity, one of the first marks, is discernment.
Amen.
And so as you're growing, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice.
Amen.
So the more that we know him, we know his voice, we know what he sounds like, we know how he moves, we know how to follow him better. And so we're discerning.
Amen.
When those times, moments are to move.
So Pastor Josh, just cap that for me, because to follow the signs, we have to have discernment. And that was the next thing. I said, Lord, give me that the spirit of discernment, so I will know when you speak to me. Because guess what, folks, church, we know that there are different voices. There are so many times you're going, I wonder. But as a child of God, you know the distinct voice of God. Amen? You know the listening, and you can discern the voice of God, what needs to be done. So I trust and hope that we will, as we continue on this journey, one, we must follow the signs, and secondly, we must be able to have that spirit of discernment. And then guess what? And never forget this. As we go on that journey, we must have that attitude of worship. We must have that attitude of worship. I shared in the first service that I'm a crazy sports person. And thank God, if I was lying now, my nephew is here who drives a lot with me. If I was lying, he would have said, Uncle, that's not true. But now I've gotten to the place where if I'm out of town, I find the gospel station. And now I listen more to the things of God. I worship God whether I'm in the car, whether I'm in the bed, whether I'm at home, whether I'm at church. It doesn't matter where you are. You should always be in the spirit of worship. Because when you recognize, amen. You know, I tell people, one of the things about me, and I add a little bit, is when I wake up in the morning, to me that's enough to worship God. The fact that I'm alive is enough to worship God. I don't need God to do something what we call spectacular to worship. The fact that I'm alive is reason enough to worship God. So when I wake up, I want to be worshiping. When I'm going to bed, I want to be worshiping. When I'm on the job, I want to be worshiping at all times. And then Pastor Joshua touched. True worship allows you to do what?
It makes you a giver.
It makes you a giver.
One of the responses that we have when we worship is to give. We give him praise. We give him worship. And actually, the wise men, they humbled themselves while they were worshiping. and they opened their treasure chest. So they actually gave things that were precious. So it's impossible to really worship without giving of ourselves.
And on that topic, just remember this fact. We cannot outgive God. We cannot, as a church of God, it doesn't matter what you think. You cannot outgive God. Because you know what the Bible says? When you give, it shall return unto you what? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So therefore, when you think you're giving so much to God, you'll always realize that there is so much more in return. Because that's the word of God. Amen? Part two, real quickly. The fact is, as we begin to discern, as we begin to worship, then there comes a point that we must line up with the word of God. We must line up with what God has given us to do. Sometimes God calls us like God calls us to do a particular thing, or sends us a particular place in ministry, or sends us to talk to somebody on our job at school, wherever the case is, and we want to put it off. We are so afraid. But I want us to line up with whatever God has called you to do. Whatever he's called you to do in Jesus' name today, because that's my commitment to God as I go on this journey of the wise men, is to line up to the word of God.
Amen. When the wise men lined up with the star, they were able to enter in
Amen.
To the presence of God and to their Amen. Purpose, and to they fulfilled their purpose. So it's all about finding what is God saying and how do I line up with it in this season.
Amen. And then this is a very important one. Everybody will not be excited. Everybody will not be excited or happy with you when you decide to do the things of God. Everybody will not enjoy you. You're going to have even some friends, some family members who are going to want to distance themselves from you. But I encourage you in Jesus' name, whatever God says to do, if you do what God has called you to do, then guess what? God's got you back every time.
Well, King Herod and many people in Jerusalem weren't excited about the news that the wise men were bringing. And so we have to understand people with a worldly mindset are going to have a different perspective on your purpose. The Bible says don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't just cast your dream and put your heart out there and expect everybody to love what you're doing for God. Because some people are not going to be able to understand it, comprehend what God is doing, but don't let that change your journey.
And then with that said, when you line up with the things of God, one of the things I have decided is that I will not allow people with an earthly mindset to speak into my life. Hope United, Church of God, we should not allow people with an earthly mindset to speak into your life, because they will never be able to understand the things of God. Because flesh and blood will never comprehend the Spirit. Get that clear. Flesh and blood will never comprehend the Spirit. So therefore, they will never be able, somebody with an earthly mindset, when God says, okay, next year is going to be the year of overflow, the first thing that comes to the worldly mind is, oh yeah, I've heard that before. But when you know that you know that you know that the promises of God are sure, then you know that next year will be your year of overflow.
Want to add to that? So.
Amen. Praise God. So never let somebody with an earthly mindset speak into your life. And then next, I am now careful who I give my time to. I'm so careful of who I give my time to. Because guess what? Why do we spend time talking with people who mean you no good, who will never understand what God is doing in your life? You're only wasting time. No, that's not meaning now that, okay, we're not going to talk to sinners. No. Don't say Pastor Pete said that. Because the only Christ they're going to see is the Christ in us. However, the time that we're going to spend trying to be a part of them and to be like them, no. It's time to stop and change focus, change direction, and realize that you must be careful of who you give your time to.
So there's three types of people in your life. One, people that you pour into their life, people that pour into your life, and people that you got no business hanging out with. There's some Herods.
Amen.
There's some
Amen.
Herods.
Amen.
So you got to know by the Spirit. Back to discernment.
Amen. Amen.
Guard your time. You can never get more time. You get more money. You can make money back, but you can't make time back.
Amen. And something that I've really loved, especially when you come, for those of us who come to men's Bible study on a Wednesday night, when you're in the presence of God, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. You the things you get when you're in the presence of God. And guess what? The presence of God is not just merely in church. Let me say that for those of you who are believing, I'm saying that you have to be in church to be in the presence of God. Because the Bible tells me where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. If I'm a child of God, if I'm royalty, if I'm in my car, in my house, on the job, wherever I am, the presence of God is there. But it's how you live that invites the presence of God in and around your life. Amen? Going to add to that, sir? Amen. Praise God. So we have to be careful to make sure that wherever we are, the presence of God is always there. Because the songwriter said, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine, knowing that I am his and he is mine. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Amen. Part three, when God gives me, and again, I was a little personal, when God gives me a directive, no matter what anyone else thinks, and I know it's God, I'm going to be so determined to do whatever God says. Determination. Determination. There is so much here to prevent us from inheriting the kingdom of God. The Bible says the devil comes but to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. So guess what? You have to be so determined. It's a daily walk. As a matter of fact, I've brought it a little bit closer, Pastor John. I say it's a minutely walk. Because you can just finish praying, get up off your knees, and the devil is ready there with an ultimatum or a different way for you to take. So you've got to be so determined that you say, like the Apostle Paul said, neither height nor depth nor things present nor things to come can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we got to make sure that we are so determined, so serious, so concentrated, so focused on doing the things of God and declare to the devil that neither height nor depth nor things present nor things to come will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So understand this, with determination, when now you have become so focused, you're so dedicated to what God is doing in your life, that with that comes the authority and the power. Because now you are so consumed with God. You become the very ambassador of Christ. You speak like God. You live like Christ. So guess what? With that comes authority. So you can look at the things of this world. You can look at situations and declare, as the Bible says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. You now have the authority to say to whatever the situation is, or even to the wind and the storm, peace be still. Because the Bible declares, let me tell you what the Bible says, so you don't just go and say, Pastor Peter. The Bible declares that greater things shall ye do. So what? If you're living in Christ and Christ living in you, greater things shall ye do. Amen? You want to add to that, Rev? Amen. And Pastor John, I say you're going through this time. Amen. So remember that with the determination comes the authority and the power. Because remember, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love, somebody asked me the other day, a friend of mine, so who would you say is your daddy? Yes, I have an earthly dad. But understand, ultimately, my dad is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. He ruled. In him I live. In him I breathe. In him I go. So guess what? He is my authority. Amen? So with that, I work daily to submit my life to him. Part four, God wants us God wants to take us as a church somewhere. And I know some of us are looking forward to 2020. But I have declared even now, because the Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep me or us from falling. He is the God of now. And he wants to take us somewhere. God wants to do the spectacular, the supernatural in us. If we would only, one, line up to him. If we would submit to him, if we would allow him to be in full control of our lives, he wants to do, and the word Pastor Josh used was something monumental. When you look at the word monumental, it means something exceptional. Are you ready for the overflow? Are you ready for the exceptional move of God in your life? That will only happen when you submit to God. Let me move on real quickly. God is ready to use, and I use us mightily. God is ready to use us mightily. As he takes us on the journey, he's preparing us to use us mightily. And also, the next thing is, it's not where you start, it's where you end. It's not where you start, it's where you end. So right now you might feel that, oh my God, I've made so many mistakes in my life. You might feel so down. You might have friends telling you, why are you worried to go to church? Why you bother? You've messed up so many times. But remember, the story is not finished yet. Remember, the story is not finished yet. I shared in the first service that at least 16 years ago, Bishop, Pastor Josh's dad, spoke into my life. I'd just gone through a backslidden experience. Felt like there was no hope left in Pastor Pete. And Bishop looked at me and I thought he was crazy. I'm not afraid to tell you. Yes, I confess. He looked at me and he says, son, I don't see you for where you are today. I see you for where God is taking you. And was he right in the spirit? My brothers and sisters in Christ, don't look at where you are today. Tune those people out. You continue to seek God. Because remember, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. Amen? So with that said, I want to say to you, you must get in position. Get in position. Get to the place that God can use you. And when you get to that place, I say to you, be patient. Having said all that, I want to close with sharing a few things with you. And the simple word is, in closing, having recapped, complete the journey. It is important in completing the journey, like the wise men. They were told, in a dream, God will speak to you in a dream. He will speak to you through friends. He will speak to you through you, even your child sometimes. You have to be sensitive to the voice of God. But for you to be sensitive to the voice of God, it is important to know the voice of God. As a matter of fact, I read this commentary. Discerning or knowing the voice of God requires what? The Word of God. Time in the Word should be a priority to every believer at all times. Because the Bible declares, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. So we must be sensitive and know the voice of God. The wise men recognized the voice of God in a dream, and they were obedient and go a different way. We don't know much about them after they got back to their country, but we know that God protected and guided them. Amen? So to know the voice of God, we must have a relationship with Him. To know the voice of God, we must have a relationship with Him. Because the Bible declares the sheep knows His voice. And I read to you from John 9, verses 3 through 5. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. And the sheep, this was Jesus speaking the parable. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. And the sheep listens to His voice. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. When He has brought all of them, his own, He goes on ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they what? Know His voice. That's a relationship between a sheep and a shepherd. We must have a relationship with God. We must spend time in prayer. We must spend time in the Word of God to be able to recognize the voice of God. Amen? Then, as I close on the last few points, they know the providence of God. The wise men were able to complete the journey because they knew the God in whom they trust. They knew that if they listen to the voice of God, they will never go wrong. Hope United, if you listen to the voice of God, you will never go wrong. It doesn't matter what the enemy is doing around you. It doesn't matter what others are saying. You must know and listen to the voice of God because He's always going to provide for you. There is a providence, there's a protection that comes with being the child of God. God delivered and guided their way. Know this, like the psalmist said in Psalm 32, verse 7, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from the trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. Church of God, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you Because God is a God that honors his word above his very name. The promises of the Lord are sure. They are amen and amen. Amen? 4. God will watch over whom he loves. If you continue to live for God, walk for God, I guarantee you today in Jesus' name that he will watch over you. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what mere mortal or man can try to do to me. When you are confident in God, when you are living for God, then you recognize that he's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. So therefore, you walk with your chest high. You walk in confidence, knowing that if God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? Though an host may rise up against you, in this will I be confident. Why? Because God is for me. Amen? 5. He knows how, and this is the one I love most, as you complete this journey, understand that no matter what the enemy has planned for you, the God that we serve knows how to foil the plan and purpose of the enemy. I don't think you hear me. You think the devil ain't constantly planning to defeat us? Like I said earlier, the Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God says in his word, but I am come, Jesus speaking, I am come that he might have what? Life. And have it. Not just life. I love that, Pastor Josh. Not just life, but life more abundantly. And then if you doubt that, hear what the Bible says. In Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge. I don't think you hear me. God is our refuge. And he's not just merely a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So why are we going to fear? Why are we going to be disturbed? Let's us finish the journey. Let us stay confident in the God of our salvation, knowing that what we have committed unto him, he will keep against that day. 6. He delivers from tyrants like Herod. There are some tyrants that their only purpose is to destroy you. You have some folks that if God would have allowed you to hear some of what they're saying, it will literally quench your spirit. But I thank God that in spite of what the Herods of the world wanted to do to the wise men, because God was all protecting them, because God was guiding them, Herod had no jurisdiction over them. Hope United, Herod the devil has no jurisdiction over your life. He delivers from tyrants like Herod. Deuteronomy 31:16. No weapon forged against you or me can prevail. And you will refute every tongue, my God, every tongue that accuses you. This is Church of God, Hope United, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I have made you, and I will carry you. I went to the wrong verse, scripture there. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, says the Lord. I complete the journey with Isaiah 46 and verse 4. Some of us are young, some of us are older. Some of us have been serving God for a long time. And one of the newest things out there is, I've heard that Jesus is coming from my head, was at my knee. I've heard all different stories and what's going on. But the confidence we have as the children of God is found in Isaiah 46:4. Even to your old age and gray hairs. Pastor Pete, if he doesn't shave, start having the gray hairs. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I, Jesus, will rescue you. Hope United, finish the journey. Finish the journey, because we serve a God that will not lie. He cannot lie. Though an horse will rise up against you, finish the journey. Finish the journey. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Know that the Bible declares that no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. So as we've gone through this journey, some of us, we're not at the end yet. Some of us, our stories are just in the middle. Some of us, our stories might be at the very beginning. But I trust and hope by the power of God that when we would have completed this journey, we will be able to say like the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near." The Apostle Paul says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge." See, it's not going to be Pastor Pete, Pastor Josh, not my dad, or those who have gone on before us. They won't be giving us that crown. It will be the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And the Apostle Paul, in encouraging us today, said, "And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing." Finish the race. Finish the race. Stay focused on God. Though the battle may be hard and the conflict sore, though rocky the road as you travel along, I encourage you to hold on a little longer. Take Jesus at His word, and He will carry you through, right through to the promised land. Finish the journey like the wise men did. They kept focus. They were determined. They stayed in position. And they were able to return home safely. Hope United, let us stay focused so we'll be able to say like the Apostle Paul, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me. And not to Pastor Pete only, but to all those who have craved, who have loved, who have stayed in position, who have been determined, who have sacrificed, who have kept their eyes on Jesus. To all those will He give a crown of life." Let us close our eyes right now as you stand with me in Jesus' name. If you're here, you've been discouraged. You feel like you can't finish the race. Some people have spoken some negative things over your life. And even though we've been so challenged through this series to finish the race, some of us feel like giving up. Right where you are today, if you're one of those who, yes, you've been wavering, you've been disappointed in many things, God is here telling you today, finish the race, because I've got a crown of righteousness. That's why we live. That's why we sacrifice. That's why we worship. Not for what we see here, but for the crown of life, which a righteous judge should give us. If you're here today and you're saying to God, "God, I am now determined. I'm making a decision today to submit to You. I am now determined, whatever comes my way, to finish that race." If you're here, right where you're standing, we're not going to ask you to come out now. Just raise your hands. Praise God. God bless you. I see those hands. And if you're not saved, and you're saying, "Pastor Pete, I have not started the race yet, but I realize that there is something more in this journey that we've been sharing about in the month of December. And I intend to start and finish the race." Like I said to you, it doesn't matter where you are today. It's where you are from this moment on. You too can surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, "With the heart man believe, with the mouth confession is made, and you will be forgiven of your sins." So if you're here and you're not saved, I also want you to raise your hand. We're going to pray for you right now because God is here. God bless you. I see that hand. I'm going to pray this simple prayer That is our practice here for those who raised their hand and were not saved. And I want the church to just join with me briefly as we pray together with those who are now surrendering firstly their life to Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today. I recognize that I'm a sinner. I need to start this race. I pray that you'll forgive me of my sins. Father, I surrender my life, my will to you this afternoon. Would you wash me in the precious blood of the Lamb and write my name in the Lamb's book of life? Father, I thank you for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The angels in heaven are rejoicing with the soul who has now surrendered to Christ. And we as a church, we rejoice also. Father, we thank you for the hands that were raised. For those who are making a new commitment to you today, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Father, as they raise their hands, you see them where they're standing. I pray, God, that you will give them a fresh anointing. I pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, every hindrance to their life, Father, will be removed in the name of Jesus. Everything that's been stopping them, Father, from living and walking in their purpose, Father, we cancel it as they surrender and submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that there'll be new creatures in you, new creation today. Father, all things will be passed away. And behold, in the name of Jesus, all things become new. That, Father, they will finish the race. They will finish this journey. That, dear God, at the end of it all, we all will be able to hear, Father, we will be able to say like the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. And I know that there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me because you promised it. And Father, you honor your word above your very name. Father, we want to hear together as a family, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we commit our lives afresh to you today. And we thank you, dear God, that we are purposed, we are determined, Father, to finish this journey and to live in the overflow from this day forward, even forevermore. And we say thanks in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Pastor Josh.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.